If you're a person that likes to be in advance and be prepared in advance, you can turn in Mark 10 and put a little mark there, and then go to Romans chapter 12 and put a little mark there. That's where the bulk of my message will be today. And if you want to just go to one only, go to Romans 12, all right? Because that's a lot of what I want you to get this morning. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our need to connect. You know, 2 weeks ago, we looked at God's desire for us to connect to a church. And then last week, Dusty took that a step further as he shared with us the importance of connecting with a life group. And today we're going to go even a step further as we talk about connecting to ministry. Now, to help us this morning as we deal with this, I've brought my own little visual aid. You know, Dusty always steps the bar up. He brings the visual aid. And so it always puts the pressure on me to bring something. You know, he brought his little tennis ball last week, right? And so I'll trust you. I'm not going to put it in the floor this week, so you worry about me tripping over it, okay? I was really worried about that last week, Dusty, by the way. I thought you were going to trip over that ball. But so what I've done today, he had his tennis ball, and I've brought me a target, all right? Can y'all see that over there? Y'all can't even see it, Kenny. All right, I'm sorry. I know everybody's not going to see it. I got a copy on the screen to help you. I'll put it back as far as I can. But I just want you to look at this target, because this target represents something for us. This target represents the fact that God has a bullseye for our lives. There is a bullseye that every one of us should try to be hitting. And the bullseye is being active in ministry. See, if we're going to consider the Christian life like a target, I could say that connecting to God or coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ is just like getting on the target, right? That's all that is. You know, we might in some sense, we would say, hey, the bullseye is for people to give their life to Jesus Christ. Now, we know ultimately that's what we desire. But I want you to understand, I'm using this target as the Christian life. And if you're a Christian this morning, connecting to Jesus Christ is just getting on the board, all right? But God wants more for you. He wants you to go a step further. He wants us, we've been talking about, to connect to the church and to connect to a life group. And I'm proposing you today that ultimately God's going to say this, that you're going to hit the bullseye when you are active in ministry. All right, it's not just about getting on the board for us this morning, folks. God has so much more for us. He wants us active. I can say that in part because of what we are told in Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with them. Again, a person who finds forgiveness in Jesus Christ, folks, is not saved just to reserve themselves a place in heaven someday. I hope you get that. Please don't think that being saved just means that someday you're going to be an angel floating on a cloud. Is that what you think that means? Let me go ahead and tell you something. First of all, you are not an angel. You're not an angel. All right, God created those, and you're not one of them. He created you as a human being. He created you as a person. And God isn't looking for creatures just to sit around. Instead, he has things for us to do. I believe both now here on earth, and he'll even have things for us to do later when we get to heaven. And for now, catch this, that God desires for us to be active in ministry. All right, go back one slide there. All right? God desires for us to be active in ministry. Truly, that's what Ephesians 2:10 tells us. He has created us in Jesus to do good works. Hear me again. We were not created in Jesus to sit around. We were not created in Jesus just to look forward to heaven. We were created in Jesus for good works, and that is ministry. And let me go ahead and tell you this, that true greatness is found in serving others. In fact, I want us to look at Mark chapter 10 this morning, all right? So if you haven't turned there, go ahead and turn there. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus has encounters with several different people. One of those is a rich man that the world would look at and say he has it all. He was what we are striving to be in many sense. I mean, he had everything we want. We would look at him and say, well, it would be great to be him, all right? Because again, he had so much, he had it all. But then Jesus asked, when this man asked Jesus about having eternal life, Jesus told him, listen, I want you to take of your wealth and I want you to go give that to poor. Well, the scripture tells us that when that man heard what Jesus said, that he went away very disheartened because he loved his wealth more than he wanted to do what Jesus said. And so that section ends with Jesus sharing these words in Mark 10:31. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. See, this is a clear reminder to us that those this world often considers the winners will not necessarily be winners in the eyes of God. All right, would you hear that? Those that the world considers great are not necessarily great in God's eyes. We have to be careful to understand what it really means to finish first in God's eyes. And the standards that the world uses are usually not the right standards. In fact, a few verses later, we read another encounter that Jesus had that helps us see God's standard. The standard that validates my point this morning that true greatness is found in serving others. Look back at your scriptures again, this time beginning in verse 35. It's here Jesus has an encounter with a couple of his disciples. Look at this. It says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us to sit one on your right hand and one at your left in your glory.' And Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared.' And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them," all right, listen to what he said, "'You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" You see, this passage is a very real and honest look into the life of Jesus and his disciples. Here we have these brothers, James and John, and they're asking him for prominent places by Jesus' side. They were asking for these positions because they believed at this time that Jesus was going to be a prominent political figure. They believed that Jesus was going to be the next king of the Jews or the king of Israel in a political sense. They did not realize that the throne that Jesus was going to ascend to was a heavenly throne, not an earthly throne. And so it was like, this is what they were asking, because they thought he was going to be the next king there in Israel. They were asking, "Jesus, I want to be your vice president, and I want to be your chief of staff," all right? They were wanting those prominent positions when he came into his glory. You see, Jesus tried to let them know that they didn't understand what they were asking for. He tried to help them understand that they didn't know that the cup that he was getting ready to drink from was one of suffering, and that the baptism that he would undertake was going to be death upon a cross. They truly didn't get it, because what they wanted was that powerful position next to the king's side. Now, before we get too down on James and John, we need to make sure that we keep in mind verse 41 that says, "When the other 10 disciples heard what was going on, they became indignant at James and John." You do understand what was going on there, right? They were mad that James and John beat them to the punch. You get that, right? They were mad that James and John asked first, because they were saying, no, we wanted the right and left hand. We wanted to be the vice president and chief of staff. And so they were just mad that somebody beat to ask him. It wasn't that they were mad that they asked the question. They were mad that they asked the question first. And again, let's do this, all right? Let's be honest about who we are. If you and I were there, we wouldn't be any different, would we? I mean, in fact, you and I would be asking for that position as well. In fact, why don't you do this? Why don't you look at the person sitting next to you and say, "I would have wanted the prominent position too." Go ahead and do it. Don't be shy. All right? Do you not like to admit that? But isn't that who we are as humans? Think about it. Isn't that who we are as humans? As humans, we want to be prominent. We want to be great. This is where we need to hear the lesson of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples that the Gentiles, now keep this in mind, in context, we can basically say those who do not fear God, all right? And it was those who fear God seek to have power in order to dominate those under their authority. In other words, when they are in charge, you know they're in charge, because they're going to let you know they're in charge, and they're going to do things to show you the power that they have, right? That's what they do. But Jesus looked at his followers, all right? And what did he say his followers should do? He says, that's not the way it is with you. In verses 43 and 45, let me read them again. "But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Jesus says in his eyes, true greatness comes from serving others. Now, I know this is very countercultural, is it not? This is very, very much counterculture. In fact, most of you probably don't even like the fact that I'm sharing that with you today, right? You don't want to hear the fact that God says greatness is when I serve others, because again, we want to be great. But listen, God truly measures one greatness by the manner in which a person serves others. You know, you can be the most powerful person in the sight of the world, but you can be nothing in the sight of God. All right? On the other hand, you can be nothing in the sight of the world, yet great in the eyes of God. I hope you understand that. Now, don't get me wrong. All right? I believe God has placed within us a desire to achieve. I think God has placed within us a desire to advance. He is even at its root, he has given us a desire to win. And I'm not saying there is anything wrong with this, but here is the question. All right, are you advancing by serving people, or are you advancing by serving yourself? You see, God would say the way that you should advance in life, you exercise this desire, is a desire to serve people. You know, many great scientists have achieved greatness because they were trying to serve others by seeking solutions to problems. Many entrepreneurs have become even very successful in life because they were seeking to serve the needs of others. And then I've seen those folks, though, who on the other hand, they achieved greatness by giving up wealth in order to serve the needs of the poor and the needy in their community. You see, the way to greatness has many faces, but folks, true greatness always involves serving others. You cannot read the words of Jesus and come to any other conclusion. Therefore, here's what I want to pause and ask you today. Are you seeking to serve others? You see, that's what ministry is all about, serving others even in love. And if you're going to hit the bullseye for your life, it's going to be when you're connecting to ministry and when you are serving other people. Now, some of you might say, well, Brother Scott, I hear that and I'm going to agree with that, but how do I do that? How do I serve others in love? How do I connect with ministry? I heard a great explanation by Chip Ingram about what serving with love means. And I want to share part of that with you today because he explained it this way, and I thought it was a great way to put it. It's this. It says, when the real you meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. All right, listen to that, okay? When the real you meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. I love that explanation, and you can find the basis for this explanation in Romans chapter 12. And so if you want to turn there, go ahead and flip over to Romans chapter 12. You know, if you read the book of Romans, you get a great theology of who Jesus is and how one is saved. There's no clearer place to discover that we are saved by God's grace than the book of Romans. We clearly read there that Jesus died to pay the price for our sins and that our faith in what Jesus did for us is the only way to be made righteous. Romans also makes it very clear that we have all have sinned and without Jesus we are hopeless, but that through Jesus Christ we can be forgiven and we can be given a new life that is lived in light of the grace that we have received from him. As one reads through Romans, though, you come to chapter 12 and it's as if the focus changes just a little bit. We move from how is it that I get this new life to now then how do I live in this new life, or what does this new life look like? And we discover some of the true characteristics of a Christian life. Now, beginning in verse 9 of chapter 12, we find the basis for Chip Ingram's explanation of loving service. And so, let's look at this in detail. Verse 9 says this, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. This is what Chip called the real you. Now, it's not hard to see where he gets it, especially when you hear the phrase, let love be genuine. You know, in the original Greek language, it's literally, if I was going to literally translate it from the Greek language, it would be this, let love be without hypocrisy. That's what it literally reads in the Greek. Now, the word hypocrite, if you don't know this, or hypocrisy, has its root in the theater. It goes back to the days where one actor would play many parts upon a stage. And so what they would do to play these different parts is they would put on masks, sometimes even disguising their voices, to go from one part to the other. This Greek word, which means without hypocrisy, literally means this. It's taking off the mask. It's taking off the mask so you see the real you. So when this actor would take off the mask, you would see who he really was. Here's what God is telling us to do in our life. We need to take off our mask. We need to be the real us. Because if we're going to truly love others, we have to be the real us. See, let's face it, that even in the church, there are times that we fail to be ourselves. Do we not? I hate to admit it, but let me go ahead and make a confession to you. I hate to admit this, but I'm going to confess. There have been times when I've called to check on people, and I really didn't want to. I did it. Why did I do it? Because I knew I needed to. It was the right thing to do. But to be honest, I didn't really want to. You know what I was doing when I made that call? I was putting on a mask. I wasn't being the real me. I was putting on a mask to play a part because that's the part I needed to play. I also know there have been times in life where I've served in ministry in life because maybe somebody asked me to do that and I did it, but I knew it's really not what I wanted to do or what I felt I was good at or what I was equipped at, but I did it. I said yes, and so what I do, I put on a mask to serve in a ministry that wasn't the real me. Now, here's my guess is, I'm not the only one that's ever done these things, am I? Tell me I'm not alone. Thank you, Roy. I'm not alone, right? We've all done these things before, all right? Here's what I believe it calls for. If we're really going to serve in love, here's what it calls for us to do. Two things. One is simply this. Sometimes we need to pray to God and ask Him to change my heart, all right? Change my heart, God. You know, there's no doubt that there are times when our love isn't genuine because our hearts are not right with God. And we need our hearts changed, do we not? Think about it. Does God want us to love everybody? Yes or no? He does, right? And so if there's times when I'm acting and I'm not acting, I really don't love the person that maybe I'm helping or whatever, here's what I need to do. God, would you change my heart? Make me real. Make my love genuine. Because if I'm going to serve this person genuinely, my heart needs to be changed in this matter. Does that make sense? And so there's time to be the real you. We need to ask God to come and say, Lord, you just need to work. I need you to work in my heart this morning. Now, second, though, I believe we also need to do this. We also need to be seeking to serve in the area where God has gifted us. I'm going to give you an example of this. I think if the example I'm going to give is my wife. She told me I couldn't talk about her this morning. I said, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. So if she's mad at me, I'll deal with that later. But I'm going to give you an example. You want to see the real Kim Kerr? This is what you need to do. You need to go watch her teach kids. You need to go watch her. She's a completely different person when she's with kids. I've seen people who have watched her in the children's environment, teaching kids, doing things, and said, I didn't know your wife could do that. Absolutely. Because why? My wife, she's a little shy sometimes. She's going to kill me afterwards. That's okay. But I could do it in the first service because she wasn't in here and it was good. But it's harder with her sitting here. Around adults, because she's a little shy, she'll put on a mask, all right, because she's a little insecure in those. But you go watch her with kids. She has compassion with kids. She has patience with kids. I mean, she is just great. God has given her just this gift. I look and I say, listen, there's no doubt where God has gifted you because the way you are with kids are amazing. I've had people come to me and they've watched her in that environment and said, I really, truly did not know your wife could do that. I mean, even at school, I've seen her, she's read books before and she'll put on this British accent. You know, she'll just, I can't do it, so I'm not even going to try. You want to try it? Show them, dear? No? Okay. Anyway. But it's the real her. It shines. Why? Because she's serving where God has gifted her, all right? Now, I use her as an example, but here's what I believe, that we're all that way. We're all that way. Sometimes we might have more than one area where we're gifted, but Ephesians 2:10 says this, that we have been created in Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand for us to do. Therefore, if we're going to be genuine, then we need to serve in the area where God has gifted us. Here's what this tells me. In part, do you know it's okay to say no sometimes? It's okay to say no because you say, that is not where I'm gifted. That's not where my heart is at. And you don't just say yes when somebody asks you to do ministry because, you know what, if that's not where God wants to use you, you probably need to, you know, you do need to say no. Why? Because that's not where God wants to use me. And instead what you do is you look to say yes in those areas where God has given you gifts. See, I have no doubt as I look across, there are many people here today, God has gifted every one of you with something to do, and He's just waiting for you to say yes to the area where He's gifted you. Now, as I say that, I need to quickly add this, though. To say the real you, if you're going to serve as the real you, you must also abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. What I mean by that, it means this. It means you need to live a life of purity. You know, you shouldn't be this person who puts on a mask to serve and act like someone who is a good person, but in reality, you're far from that. God doesn't want that either. I mean, yes, he wants you to serve where he has gifted you. He wants you to serve with a genuine love. But he wants you to know that if you're going to serve with a genuine love in an area of ministry where he has gifted you, you need a life that is pure, all right? You can't just go out here and live some one way and then come and serve in another way and put that mask on. He says, no, what do? You abhor what is evil. You cling fast or hold fast to what is good. And what God wants to do with a person, all right, who is willing to have a genuine love and serve in that area of ministry and live with purity, he takes that real person, and then you know what he does? He uses you to meet real needs. All right, in fact, look at verse 10. Because it goes on to say, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now I want to read this again to you in an NIV, because I really think it helps us understand a little better what God's word wants us to see. Look what it says there. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And to me, I love it in NIV because that be devoted is so key. And that's what the original language is trying to get across to us, is that what we need to do, if we're going to meet real needs, it means this. Not just things that are convenient, right? I think sometimes what we want to serve when it's convenient for us. But God says we are to be devoted to one another. I might even say this quickly. The idea of ministering does begin with loving other Christians. Here, even when it says brotherly love, it may very well be referring to the love that Christians are to have for one another. But the key to loving service is that it is devoted. It is willing to go outside of what is convenient. If you are in a life group, as Dusty spoke about last week, being devoted to one another might mean fixing a meal for a life group member after a surgery, even if your schedule is busy. It might mean making a visit to the emergency room late at night, or it might mean babysitting kids at the last moment when emergency arises. Those things are often not convenient, but they are a part of being devoted. And you know, when you take it outside of the body of Christ, it's not always convenient to spend an afternoon at Mission Hope for Kids every week to minister to at-risk children, but that is devotion. You will hear us begin to talk about a ministry called Room at the Inn that seeks to provide shelter for a homeless population during the cold winter months. It might not be convenient to spend a night sleeping on a cot to oversee homeless people staying in our facility, but it is devotion. You see, I could go on, but let me just say to you, all right, real needs need to be met, and real needs are met with devotion, and it's a devotion of our time, all right? Now, with that, to meet real needs, it also adds, you need to have humility. Notice as it says, honor one another above yourselves. You know, there will be times when you do ministry where you will wonder this. Does this person really deserve what I'm doing for them? Honestly, you're going to have that. Does this person really deserve what I'm doing for him? But here's the truth. If we'll look at that person through the eyes of God, you will decide this, that person deserves it more than you. Right? That is simply the attitude of Jesus, was it not? You remember, Jesus gave his life for you and me. What was Jesus basically doing? He was saying, look, I'm giving my life for you because your life's more important. I'm going to die for you. Think about it. Jesus is to tell us, have that attitude, that we look at people, even that we're ministering to, and say, I'm having this attitude of humility that says, this person is greater than me, and so I'm going to minister to them. They deserve it, all right? It's not it's not my responsibility really to even make that judgment. It's just looking and saying, I'm honoring them above me. All right, so here's where we're at. Loving ministry is the real you, meeting real needs. And look at verse 11. It's for the right reasons as well. He says, do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit serve the Lord. When it says do not be slothful in zeal, it means you should have this eagerness about serving. It should not be something you've done reluctantly. I'm here to tell you, if you're serving reluctantly, you're not doing it for the right reasons. It also says fervent in spirit. It means there should be this excitement that coming from deep within. There should be something within you as a believer that says, I want to serve. That's the right reason to serve, because God has put something in my spirit that says, this is what I need to be doing. And above all, what's the last thing he says? He says, serve the Lord. And I'm not going to spend much time here, because I hope you understand this, that the ultimate reason that we should be active in ministry is to serve the Lord. I am telling you that you need no other reason this morning than to serve the Lord. And that's what he wants for you. Shouldn't that be enough for us? If I say, why am I serving in ministry? Shouldn't it be that I am serving the Lord? In fact, the only thing else that I'm even going to say about this is this. That when it comes to serving for the right reasons, the only thing that is opposite of serving for the right reasons is serving for the wrong reasons. Are you surprised I'm smart enough to figure that out? Y'all look stunned this morning. What? But I'm smart enough to figure that out. If you're not serving for the right reasons, you're serving for the wrong reasons. And I bet you can figure out what some of those are. Things like self-advancement, self-praise, believing you're earning your salvation and the like. Those aren't the reasons that you should serve. We should put those things aside and be involved in ministry for the sole purpose, ready? That Jesus loves you, that he died for you so that you might have salvation. And here's what you want to do. You want to serve because you love him. And you want to follow in his footsteps. That should be enough. That is indeed the right reasons. So when you have the real you meeting real needs for the right reasons, here's all you need to add to it. You need to add in the right way. Look at verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. So what is the right way to serve? I'm going to put it to you twofold this morning. Looking up. And reaching out, okay? Looking up, reaching out. We look up because we need God to minister properly. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and let you in on a little secret, if you don't already know this, that ministering to people can be tough. Amen, all right? I've even said before, ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. All right? That's the truth, okay? Now, so how do you keep doing it? Here's how you keep doing it. You keep looking up to God. You rejoice, it says, in the hope that he has provided. In God, we have ultimate hope. Here's what we know, that for those who love God, someday everything's going to be okay. Amen? Isn't that good news? That's good news. In a world where it seems like we lose hope, look, no, we have ultimate hope. It is going to be okay. And it is that hope that keeps us going, even when times get tough. We also look up to God so that we can find patience in our tribulation. We can consider how Jesus endured his persecution. He endured knowing that he was doing God's will. And so if he was suffering, he knew God had a plan in that suffering. Therefore, let me say this. We too can endure in our suffering even when we are ministering if we know that we are doing God's will because God has a plan, all right? And then we also look up praying. Why? Because our strength comes from the Lord. I want you to please keep this in mind. If you are doing ministry on your own strength, you will not minister very long. You will wear out very quickly. But if you are ministering in the strength of the Lord, you can keep going much longer than you could ever imagine because the Lord has an endless well of strength to give you. And so we look up in prayer, right? The right way as we look up to God. But we also find the right way to minister is not just looking up, it's also reaching out. Notice he goes on to say, contributing to the needs of the saints. You know, as I said earlier, ministry for you can start by just helping to take care of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let me ask you this. Should it be that hard to just start ministering to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Look around. Can you take care of the people who are around you? Okay, I know some of them look pretty tough, all right? But think about it. If I first contribute to the needs of the saints, it shouldn't be that hard for me to get involved in ministry. When my first thing is I'm taking care of those who already consider themselves believers in Christ. That's where we start. But then he goes on to say, what do? After that, we also, look, we seek to show hospitality. All right. I really love the way Chip Ingram explained this. He called it this, pursuing strangers. All right. Showing hospitality. Pursuing strangers. In other words, looking for opportunities to help those that we've never knew before. When one works at Mission Hope for the first time, you will be pursuing strangers. But I tell you, those who work at Mission Hope will tell you after a while, those strangers become your friends. All right? When we start ministering to homeless, I'll tell you what that'll be. When we start pursuing homeless people and ministering to them, that's going to be pursuing strangers. But maybe someday even the homeless will be our friends. When we do our sports ministry, many times we are pursuing strangers. When one starts ministering at Clarity, you're often pursuing strangers. Even at times in our children's ministry or student ministries, we are pursuing strangers. And why are we pursuing these strangers? Here is the goal. Ultimately, to help these strangers come to know the Lord as their Savior so that someday they can become a part of the family of God. And guess what? They're not strangers anymore. They're our brothers. They're our sisters in Christ. And so we're not. Now we're just showing them brotherly love. Amen? Are you with me this morning? See, truly ministering in the right way includes reaching out. It means reaching beyond yourself. Now, let me pause again and ask this question. Is the real you meeting real needs with the right motives in the right way? See, I hope so today, because remember, true greatness comes when we serve others. True greatness will never be found if you are consumed by yourself. Let's remember where I started today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Now read this with me. That we should walk in them. In other words, here's what I'm saying. We should walk in them. It means God wants us today to get busy doing ministry. All right? He didn't even create us in Christ Jesus so we could brag about our gifts. A lot of folks brag about their gifts, but they're not doing anything. God has given you a gift. Why? That you would walk in them, that you would be active in ministry. And so God wants to know, what are you doing? Are you plugged into ministry? Now, here's something very interesting. God has a way of working these things out. You know, my job sometimes is very easy. I'm preparing a message on ministry. And somebody just kind of texted me out of the blue and said, hey, have you seen this clip? And I hadn't seen it. It was a clip of Kathy Lee Gifford on the NBC Today show as she paid tribute to her husband, Frank Gifford, who had died just a little over a week ago. I don't know how many of y'all saw that. But this friend texted me. I said, okay, I'll check it out. And so I checked it out, and I'm watching this. Now, she did this live on NBC Today, which is amazing to me. Because most of it, here's what it was doing. It was giving testimony to Frank Gifford's faith in Jesus Christ and how their faith in the Lord was what got him through life. She admitted, because he's a public figure, if you know anything about Frank Gifford, there was a time that he walked away from his faith and he failed. But she clearly proclaimed that she knew when he died that he knew forgiveness through Jesus Christ and he died at peace with God. All right, but there is a part when she gets into that she shares a story or shares an event that happened in their life. And when I saw that, I'm thinking, thank you, God. You gave me a great illustration for my sermon today, all right? And so what I want you to do, because she basically says the same thing I'm saying to you this morning, just a little different way. So I want you to watch this 2-minute clip. I think it'll speak to your hearts this morning.
One thing I do know about him is when we went to the Holy Land a couple of years ago, he came back a completely different person. We went to a place called the Brook of Elah in the Valley of Elah, where shepherd boy David fought a different kind of giant named Goliath. And our friend Ray, who took us there, took us down to the Brook of Elah, and he said, all right, pick up a stone, because that's what David the shepherd boy did. He picked up 5 stones because he thought he might need more than one. He did that, the slingshot, and slew the giant. But as Ray pointed out to us, the miracle wasn't that the shepherd boy was able to kill the giant. The miracle was that the shepherd boy, who already had all the skills he would ever need in life, trusted in a living God, not a religion, but a living God. And Frank came back with a completely new perspective. And towards the end, after that trip, Hoda, you know, because you came with Joel, if somebody wanted to see his trophy room, they went into it, and he didn't take them to the bust at the end of his Hall of Fame. Yeah. He didn't take them to see his Emmys or his rings or all of his trophies. He took them straight over to the stone that we brought back from the Brook of Elah. And we got home from the Holy Land, and Cassidy graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she was expecting, but she got a stone. And we said to her, Cass, where are you going to throw your stone for the kingdom of God? What is your stone and where are you going to throw it? A week later, Cody graduated from college, USC, film school. He got a stone. And if you ever leave a legacy for your children, let it be that you've taught them friendship with God and you've taught them to find their stone and show it, throw it hard and well, and transform this hurting world that needs God's love so much. And so my children have been extraordinary. They've been a blessing to me. You have been an amazing blessing, Hoda, my family here. all of you out there who've watched. We felt your prayers. We're so grateful. And Frank would want you to do this today. If you see a stone somewhere, pick it up and ask yourself that question. What is my stone? What is the gift that only I can do in this world to make it a better place?
Amen. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Yeah. Amen. And so I look at God and say, thank you, God. All right? You gave me a great illustration. And so it allows me to ask you this question. Where are you casting your stone today? You see, God has a ministry for each one of you today. A ministry where you will discover true greatness in serving others as the real you meets real needs, the right motives, in the right ways. And today I want you to get connected to ministry so that you'll hit the bullseye that God has for your life. Out there serving others in the name of the Lord. Now, I know if we're going to do this, here's what needs to happen. Some of you today, as we get ready to have an invitation, you need to respond first by giving your life to Jesus Christ. You've not made it on the board. You've not made it on the target. And today you need to give your life to Jesus Christ so he can do what? So that he can forgive you of your sins and so that he can recreate you. And he says in Ephesians 2:10, so that he can create you in Jesus Christ for good works. So that he can do a work in you, that he can prepare you now to go out and serve him. Some of you need to start by giving your life to Jesus Christ. If that's you at this invitation, in a moment I'm going to invite you to come. But there's many of you here today, you've been on a board for a long time. All right, you connected with God a long time ago, but you've not moved down the board. All right, last week or 2 weeks ago, connect to church. We challenge you, connect to life group. But today, I'm trying to help you see. We want you to hit the bullseye. Okay, we don't want you to be satisfied with anything less other than the place where you say, hey, I'm serving the Lord. I'm involved in a ministry. I'm doing something to cast my stone in this world. God's given it to me. And guess what? I'm trusting that stone to the Lord. And if I trust that stone to the Lord, he's going to use me to slay giants in this world. Amen? And some of you need to give your stone to the Lord today. Let me ask you, maybe in a moment you need to come to this altar. Maybe you need to begin to pray. Say, Lord, where is you want to use me? Just open your heart to God and say, Lord, show me. Show me the stone that you have for me to throw. I am ready to throw it. Some of you, when we dismiss, you need to walk out there in our foyer today. You need to go by these ministry tables. You need to go through there prayerfully asking, God, where is it that you want me to serve? Maybe one of these ministries are the place that you have for me. Ask questions, and maybe somewhere along the way, God's going to speak to your heart, and you'll say, this is where it's at. This is where the real me needs to serve. This is where I can throw my stone and plug in today, because what you'll find is when you plug into ministry, you'll find real greatness in this world. You'll find a satisfaction that nothing else can bring. If you're just serving yourself today, folks, you'll always be disappointed. But when you start serving the Lord, you'll find something happen inside of you that's amazing. And so I pray today that you'll get connected to ministry this morning. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Our Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I'm so thankful that you're a God who loves us, who's redeemed us through Jesus Christ. And as we're told that in Christ, you've created us for good works. Father, I'm so thankful that you didn't just want to save us, to put us on a shelf somewhere and to admire us as your trophies. But that, Father, you've saved us to put us into the game. That you've saved us to be a part of what you're doing in this world. Father, we know that fact gives us purpose. It gives us a reason to live. And so, Father, today I'm just simply asking that you speak to hearts. There may be some even here this morning that they just wonder if they have a purpose. I pray if nothing else, they've discovered today that in you they do have a purpose. And though, Lord, they may not know what that is today, I pray that you begin to speak to their hearts, that some soon would come to an understanding of how you've gifted them and where you want them to serve so that they can begin to find true joy in life. Because, Father, I know this, as long as they're pursuing everything else, they'll never be satisfied. But when they pursue genuine service in you and genuine ministry in the Lord, I know, Father, they'll find satisfaction on this world. So, Father, would you bless this invitation? Speak to hearts, Father, because we truly need you today. And I pray folks will be moved, and today they'll respond to your call. And as I pray these things, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.